This is Rich Aurelia, and you're listening to the weekly podcast on RedHotMama.com.
Welcome, baseball fans. You got the Red Hot Mama coming at you from Redsland with vaguely Reds-related stuff for the week ending March 13, 2006. On Tuesday, I headed to the Queen City to check out the Baseball 101 Luncheon for the Ladies to see what that was all about. It was something I thought about going to last year, but I never made it out there because, it's a $50 ticket, and I wasn't the high-rolling blogger that I am today. Anyway, I've got some audio from that a little bit later, but before I do get into that, I probably ought to set up the scene for you. It's a 2.5-hour drive out to Cincinnati from here, and so I had to take the day off work, and I'm driving down I-74, playing my Raquel Aurelia CD, and waiting to get there. Finally make it to the stadium, and make my way under the stadium and into the Diamond Club lot, and pull into it, and I'm pretty sure I'm in the right place, but, I don't really know the area, and the directions they gave me were just for, immediately around the stadium, so I wasn't sure I was going to the right place at all. And the guy doesn't ask me if I'm there. When I pull in, the guy doesn't ask me if I'm there for the luncheon for the ladies. He asks me if I'm there for the Diamond Club. And I hadn't memorized the fact that that's where it was being held, so I'm like, yeah, I guess so. So he goes, okay, yeah, you just need to follow this car, the car that just went ahead of you. But I look around, and there was no car ahead of me at all. Apparently, I had to, drive into oncoming traffic. Anyway, the parking situation, was just the first of a few awkward interactions that I had during the day. I did finally park in a spot that said it was reserved. But I think all the spots said they were reserved. They might have all been reserved for the Diamond Club. I don't know. It didn't specify. I didn't get towed, so it's all good. I was about 10 minutes early. So I go and I stand outside the entrance. And there's a whole lot of people that are just standing around waiting. And just from immediately, you can tell that this is not really a crowd of my peers. I'm something like 20 years younger than the average age of the people that are standing around me. And I had kind of a little bit of a sinking feeling going there. A woman chats me up who's probably, she talked about her kid who was in high school. So certainly my senior, at least a little bit. And she was telling me about her Christian directory of Christians, and how she had just how their organization had just published an issue in the city that I live in. So that is also the bent of the crowd that was there, as one of the questions that you'll hear in the audio later on clues you into that this was a very church going crowd. Not to say I have any problem with a church going crowd, just not the typical crowd that we get over here on Red Hot Mama. So they finally open the doors, and we make our way in, and the first person I see is Dan Stupp, co-author of Tom Browning's book, Tales from the Dugout. I recognized him from his bio photo, so that was pretty cool. Gave him a nice handshake, but it turned out I didn't have a whole lot to say to him, so I went along my merry way. Wandered out, they said the buffet was open right away, and I probably should have gotten right into line before the buffet, but I didn't know how much of an opportunity I was going to have to check out the dugout, and that was one of the first thing on the agenda for what you could do. So I'm looking around trying to figure out how you get to the dugout from there. And I sit down next to some woman who was also there by herself and said, well, isn't the dugout supposed to be open? And she's like, yeah, but I don't know how to get there either. And so this woman walks by who's obviously official. She clearly knows what's going on and is wearing a lanyard of some sort and talking to people loudly. And so we ask her about the dugout, is it open? Can we go check it out? And she's like, yeah, you just go on out there. And, we kind of look around like we don't know what the heck she's talking about. And she acts like we're complete idiots for not knowing how to get to the dugout. She's like, haven't you ever been here before? I'm like, well, number one, no, I haven't. As it turns out, I live 2.5 hours away. I don't make it to the stadium all the time. And not only that, but I don't sit in the $200 seat section. And even if I had the kind of money to drop on that sort of seats, I actually go to a baseball game to watch baseball, not to sit in the fancy schmancy wannabe mahogany diner that they call the Diamond Club. So, yeah, no, I don't know where I'm going. And even if I had been, what do people normally who sit in the diamond seats get to go into the dugout? I don't see that on television. So she eventually shows us out to where we're supposed to go, and we do go and sit in the dugout, and I felt like I was, very much breaking the rules because, women don't belong there. And so, you check it out, you take a few pictures. I took a picture of myself, got someone else to take a picture of me, and just to prove that I was there, headed back in and made my way into the buffet line, which by then was wrapping around the entire place. The buffet, except for the fact that there were about 160-year-old women in line in front of me, and the line was incredibly slow. Other than that, it was excellent food. I definitely have no complaints about the food quality that they had there. I wouldn't have minded if, like, you know, there had been a little more personal attention there, I suppose, but, you know, whatever. While we were standing in line, the gapper was there, and he made himself definitely very prominently known, and was macking on the girl that was, like, three people ahead of me. She was there with her mom. She was one of the, you know, there was probably a half dozen people under 30 there. She was one of them. And he was actually kind of grinding on her. It was a little bit disturbing to me, but her mother thought it was hilarious and was taking pictures like crazy, and the official photographer was taking pictures. And in fact, he was screwing around with him so long, made him pose like Charlie's Angels, made the girl and her mother and some other woman who was in line pose like Charlie's Angels to take pictures. It held up the line so long that me and the woman standing next to me in line were wondering if we should go around them because a huge gap had formed in front of them, which, you know, maybe that's why he's called the gapper. I don't know, holding up lines. So we get our food, and then after that you head out to the diamond seats where they were having the presentation. They told us it was business casual attire, so of course nobody had worn any hats or visors. Or fortunately, I had my sunglasses in my purse because we were sitting there facing, you know, in the intense sunlight the entire time, and I did get rather sunburned. And then they came around and they were giving us, quote, dessert out there, lemon chills and frosty malts and Cracker Jack, which, you know, you can't complain too much about. It did seem a little bit silly to be sitting in these fancy schmancy seats and be eating the lemon chill, but it's kind of hard to complain. I didn't care for the seats behind the plate. I just don't believe in padding baseball seats. That's the first thing. And then there's also the fact that they squeaked like hell. So every time you moved at all, it sounded like you were passing gas severely. They were just like squeaking and grunting and groaning every time you moved around, and here's all these people sitting in them, and it was kind of a noisy mess. So then the presentation started, and the guy comes in to introduce the presentation. Charlie Frank, the director of the Reds Community Fund, comes in to welcome us all and introduce the presentation, and to introduce how, you know, this is an event to publicize and raise awareness about the Reds Community Fund. And then they subjected us to several videos. One of them probably would have been, the first one was a video about the inner city program they have where some players go out and play Little League baseball with the at-risk youth. And it was very touching, and I'm sure that to people who were there, it was very meaningful. To me, it was like watching someone else's home movies for however long it went on for. You know, it's like that sort of thing is interesting for like 45 seconds, and then after that, you really just kind of want to move on to something else. And even though it was, you know, Matt Belisle, and, you know, he's a good-looking guy, just not that interesting for very long. I'm probably soured on it, too, because at this previous job I had, the United Way used to, the guy that was the vice president of the company was a big volunteer with the United Way, and every year would put together this horrible video and make all of the employees watch it. And it was this video about somebody who was, like, suffering or miserable, and some United Way charity had made changed their lives for them. And so, like, one year it was like this woman who was battered by her husband, and it went into this really graphic detail. It reenacted these times she was beaten and he chased her through the house, and then it sort of implied that, like, if you didn't give money to the United Way, you were beating that woman. You know, this was all your fault if you didn't give money to the United Way. And I'm like, that is such bullshit, because the United Way isn't even helping that woman. The United Way is skimming money off the top before giving it to the people that actually helped that woman. And I thought it was complete crap. And for that reason, I think I harbor bitterness towards videos about charity work. That might just be a little bit messed up. Anyway, after that video, there was a second video. I can't remember what it was, but the third video was actually just a commercial from National City Bank. It wasn't even, like, anything specially produced for this event. It was just a commercial, and I think that they show it at the ballpark. Their big thing right now is points, and they've been putting up these billboards where, like, for a week, there's a couple green dots on the white billboard, and then a week later, there's several more green dots, and then last week, it finally reveals that, oh, these are points for National City, and look how fast you collect points, and now you can get rewards for things. Anyway, to jump forward, you know, I got my gift bag at the end of the program, and when I got home, one of the things that was in it was this green circle. And you know when you get free giveaways, sometimes they are of this variety of plastic that just the odor of it, just the smell, hitting your eyes. It's like you can feel it altering your DNA and giving you cancer. It was that kind of plastic, and it was just a circle, and I don't even know what it was supposed to be. I mean, I thought maybe at first it was a Frisbee, but it was too floppy for that. Maybe it was supposed to be a coaster, but it was really too big for that. I guess it was just supposed to be a point. And if real points are as useless as that point, finally the videos were done, and they got into the actual presentation. And the first thing that they did was introduce the players, and Marty introduced the players. And let's listen to some of that.
Now introducing our starting lineups, beginning with Hall of Fame broadcaster Marty Brenneman. Reds All-Star shortstop Felipe Lopez. Reds starting pitcher Dave Williams and his wife Shelley. Reds center fielder, second baseman, third baseman, right fielder, and spark plug.
Hello, ladies. How's everybody?
Hi.
We certainly appreciate you bringing up the great weather we have here today. Doesn't get any better than this. What has it been like lately, knowing when you come to the ballpark, more often than not, you're going to be in the everyday lineup? You know, do you have to prepare? Do you have to come to a ballpark in a different frame of mind, knowing that you can play as you have almost every day?
Maybe he needs a beer. Huh? Maybe he needs a beer. Totally smell a little bit.
I know I could use one.
You're fine. Christy. Everybody knows his versatility. They know he can play a multitude.
I don't know if I like where this is going.
So versatility is what we're talking about here. Does he carry that same type of versatility at home on a day-to-day basis when things need to get done, whatever area it might be? I guess that's the answer.
Yeah, seriously.
Stormy's on the mound. The hardest hit ball all day might have been the one that got scores to first base to give the unassisted double play. You know you're going to win the game if you get out of this mess. Did you add years onto your leg?
Yeah, we were sitting in the clubhouse with everyone that pitched, Parker, everyone that was just done pitching. And as soon as that line drive hit the tag first, we all jumped up in the air. We were like giving high fives. It was great. I mean, that's what this team's about, I think. You know, we all pull for each other, and we've had some great wins.
No question about that. Kellen, how about the transition from Pittsburgh to Cincinnati? How's it been?
It's been nice. We've met some great people. We love our friends there. We've met a lot of nice people.
One
to hear, though, too. We enjoy it. We really like the city. It's a nice place with the family.
Okay. For the benefit of all these folks here, when?
I'm due July 1st.
They have one daughter. They got another one coming. Aww. Everybody should have one, as we talked earlier. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Here's the Silver Slugger shortstop from last year. What's the biggest difference between last year's offense and this year's offense?
Nothing.
Do you think this is a better offensive team? I think it is. This team has a greater propensity for working the count than the one last year did.
I don't think so.
You do?
We still hit the heck out of the ball.
No question about that. Are you happy with your season up to this point? You're a good man. Jen, question. What did it mean to you personally when your husband was recognized last year as an all-star in this league?
husband, he's a hard worker. And so it was rewarding for me to watch him achieve what he did.
I sense you. How about a big hand for these folks?
You know, one of the best parts about having Marty there was that this was really his crowd. These were really his groupies. And they thought he was just great. He walked into the room while I was standing in line for the buffet, and he was just pointing at everyone and saying, "Hi, girls. Hey, girls." So he'd walk through the room, and we'd go, "Hey, Marty. Hey, Marty. Hey, Marty." And he'd point to them and go, "Hey, girls." And no kidding, like, he hadn't stopped saying, "Hey, girls," one time before he started saying it again. So he's pointing with both hands to both sides of the room. "Hey, girls. Hey, girls. Hey, girls." And everyone is just swooning around him. And it is just phenomenal to me because I was standing there, and I'm like, Marty thinks he's a playa. He thinks he's got to be getting phone numbers from every nursing home in town. There's a happy thought for you to carry with you going forward. After Marty did the introductions, they opened up the floor to, well, they opened up the concrete slab to the people in the audience to ask some questions.
When you were getting that inside the park come around, did you really think you'd run out of gas, like, coming around third?
I ran out of gas as soon as I hit second.
But besides Great American Ballpark, which is your favorite nationally park to play in?
Right.
I really enjoy playing at St. Louis. I think the fans are about
insane.
Right next
yes.
to Cincinnati, the fans are the best, but not quite as good as Cincinnati.
Good answer.
I have three young boys that play Navajo ball. My oldest is 14, the youngest is 6. And my 14-year-old wanted me to ask you guys, what kind of advice can you give him so he can get into the major leagues?
Probably the same advice I give myself every day is just work hard, and I think you can't replace hard work. God gives you a certain amount of talent, and I think it's your job as an athlete or doing whatever you do to polish that talent, and the only way I feel like you can do that is through hard work. Just work hard, that's it.
Have fun.
Yeah.
Just tell them to listen to you.
It was just on TV. It's going to appear on Red Hot Mama this week. So.
It's actually just a little symbol that I made up when we were dating. So, it's been on there. It's always been forever.
What goes on in the clubhouse stays in the clubhouse. That's rule number one.
Can you share with me if you all have a prayer before each game, or do you have a team chaplain?
Yeah.
I don't know about these guys. I'm sure they do, but usually, like the day I pitch, about 2 minutes before I got on the field, I usually sit in my locker and just sort of give thanks for just letting me step out on the field again. The results obviously haven't been going my way all the time, but you still give thanks for doing what you do, and as long as you remember that, I think it's power to turn around.
Aww, how sweet.
On a daily basis, you take the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's very rewarding.
But this is his dream, and of course, I want to see him living it out.
I'm just happy that he's doing what he loves to do, and he
I actually got to thank my wife. I'm sure these husbands up here want to thank their wife, but I wouldn't want to have their job for a Jewish world. There's no way. I think raising two kids is very hard. Very hard. Not easy one day. I'm glad I did what I did when I'm getting to get my road trips and get away. Thank you, Jesus.
Tell by that stuff that Ryan Friel was by far and away the most popular person that was on that panel. But he didn't get a chance to talk again for a while because at this point they bring in the head groundskeeper. And man, he was passionate about his job. And it's always funny to talk to somebody like that who's got kind of a specific, kind of a geeky job, but they're so passionate about it. You know, you definitely know that the Reds outfield grass and infield dirt is in quality hands. Especially now, because I've got a piece of it. They sent us home with a piece of the outfield grass when we left the luncheon on Tuesday. So that's sitting on my mantelpiece, and it's definitely a proud addition to my collection. Anyway, here's the groundskeeper, and then after that, you'll hear a couple questions with Jerry Nairn, who made a brief appearance in the program, too.
At this time, we ask that you please refrain from throwing objects onto the field. If you do so, you'll have to answer to our next guest, Red's head groundskeeper, Doug Gallant.
Groundskeeper, no way.
I currently have around 20 guys. Unfortunately, no ladies. We're trying to get ladies, but we haven't had any luck.
What's
it pay? It's priceless.
I have a question. Since you do care about the players, obviously because of the field, you want to make sure it's prepared correctly. And when are you going to get down to Sarasota and fix those fields?
As soon as I get a plane ticket, I'd be happy to leave here in January to know how to work. Any real questions?
I think the world famous Ed Smith, world famous grounds crew would resent that.
I was just wondering if the turf is a lot like the turf they're using in the high school football teams' fields now. I think it's like a turf coming up out of the plastic.
Well, a lot of the high school fields are going to an all artificial. It's got the rubber in it and the sand. This is the infield and sidelines here. I actually do have a synthetic carpet that we're growing grass up through. It just makes it a lot stronger. This whole field is sand. There's 12 inches of sand that this grass is growing on. And the reason we do that is for drainage. If we have a rainy night, this field can handle 3 to 4 inches of rain in an hour and never have a puddle in the grass.
Introducing the second-year manager of the Cincinnati Reds and an early candidate for National League Manager of the Year, Jerry Nairn. About where it occupies as far as the division is concerned.
Well, everybody picked us up to finish last, and right now we're in first place, so that means that A, I guess, Marty, but you run right down the list. Starting pitching is probably a B. He's a right in Arroyo. That's outstanding. The other thing about our starters is they have given us innings. We go along, if our starters would get us into the ballgame, our bullpen would be pretty good. And our bullpen has been outstanding. Todd Coffey with about a 0.50 ERA. David Withers, with only one ball save, is outstanding. Merker, all these guys down here do a great job for us if our starters can give us innings. Offensively, we're still in the league and run scored, so that's close. So I'd give that a B. And defensively, I've been disappointed because we made errors in bunches of times. I'd probably give it a C. I know if our defense catches the ball, it makes the routine play every time, it makes our pitcher better.
They were doing a survey on GL12 about whether they should keep you or get rid of you. I don't think they should. But
keep you? No.
You're not going anywhere, are you?
Where the hell was that poll taken?
That was taken last week.
Well, those people are brain dead at Channel 12.
But please, a nice round of applause for someone who also put a lot into today's event, David Stewart.
Thank you, everybody.
I work in the scoreboard room. I have a nice relationship with Gabber. Massachusetts based.
Russ,
we create video animations and all the music that you hear. I work with Felipe and Ryan, making sure that they're at that.
Ladies, the moment has come that you have all waited for. We call this the Bueller Risk Game. You know what the deal was? I hate to say this, and with some exceptions, most of us are old enough to remember when this show was on TV. Explain how it goes. We ask the three ladies questions about their husbands or about themselves along with their husbands that they should know. They put their scores up, then we bring the guys back, see what their answers are, and see if they coincide. And then we send the ladies out, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The first round will be worth 5 points. The second round will be worth 10 points. And we also have a bonus question that will be a whopping 25 points.
Ooh.
So without further ado, here we go. Christy? Ladies, the question is, when traveling on the road, which city would your husband say is his favorite?
Well, he just said St. Louis, so I hope you were paying attention.
The next question is
Istanbul.
This is really easy. Is your husband a vanilla or chocolate ice cream kind of guy? One, you got a 50% chance of getting that right. Okay, and the third question is complete this sentence for him. My wife has more blank than anyone else I know. My wife has more blank than anyone else I know. If they ask my wife, she'd say he has more BS than anyone else she knows. Okay, gentlemen, we've asked your wives three questions. They have written down their answers, and now we're going to see if you all know a whole bookload about the women that you're living with.
And your wives.
The first question is this. We ask your wives, when traveling on the road, which city is your husband's favorite city to travel into? Ryan?
St. Louis.
Christy? Okay, we live
out. Dude, he just said that earlier.
St. Louis, he says, Chicago, she says. David,
he did say he
said well,
he did say
he
liked state.
Yeah, that's true.
Chicago.
Chicago. We got one right. Felipe, what would Jen say?
What would she say?
She's guessing what you would say your favorite city is. Which is your favorite city to travel into?
I don't have one. I'd rather be with her.
Oh!
take the early lead. The next question is, we ask your wives, is your husband a vanilla or chocolate ice cream kind of guy? And Brian, you would say what?
Chocolate.
Christy? Chocolate. David?
Chocolate.
Is your husband a vanilla or chocolate ice cream kind of guy? Which one would you say?
Vanilla.
Jen? Vanilla. We're 3 for 3. All right, last question we asked the wives. This is a good one. Complete this sentence for him. My wife has more blank than anyone else I know. Say it.
Shoes.
Chrissy, what did you say?
Patience. My wife has more friends.
Potential. What'd you say? My wife has more blank than anyone else I know.
It would be jeans, shoes, clothes.
Say clothes in general? Clothes.
I clothes, shoes.
That's a winner. Okay, you all did pretty good. Now we're going to ask the ladies to get up and take a hike. And we have the next round of questions for the guys. Not bad. The Friels with 5, and the Williamsons and the Lopezes with 10 points apiece. Gentlemen, right now, who is wearing the newer outfit? You or your wife? Okay, the next question. Will your wife say that most of the food she buys at the grocery store comes in boxes, bags, or cans? What would your wife say that most of the food she buys in the grocery store comes in boxes, bags, or cans?
Cans of beer.
You okay, Brian? All right, third question. Were you getting romantic?
I hope he drinks beer out of bottles, at least.
Who usually makes the first move? Who puts a full-court press on the move?
The other girl?
Oh. 25-point bonus question. You win nothing. What was the last movie that you and your wife saw together? Okay, girls. Right now, what did your husband say when the question was posed to him, who is wearing the newer outfit, you or her? Christy said me. Correct. Okay. Gentlemen.
Of
course. David. All right. Jim. Right. Okay, 3 for 3. All right. Will your wife say that most of the food that she buys at the grocery store comes in boxes, bags, or cans? Jen? What would Felipe say that most of what you buy at the grocery store is boxes, bags, or cans? Say it again.
There you go.
They're right.
Oh, breakfast cereal at the house?
What would David have said?
Boxes.
David?
Boxes. Lucky Charms.
Right now. Here we go. Christy.
Bottles.
What would the boy say?
Cans.
That's sensational.
That's nice.
Here we go. We got 2 more. We got regular 5 quarter and then a bonus. When you're getting romantic, that's easy one. Who usually makes the first move? Christy says Ryan does. Is that what you put down? Oh, no.
second.
David?
You go.
What?
I do.
Yeah. Is that what you put? Okay. What would Jen say?
Me. Him.
Is that what you put?
There you go.
We're 9 for 9. Here is a 25-point bonus. You ready? The question is, what was the last movie that you and your wife saw together? Let me hear it.
Anchorman.
That's a long time ago, man.
With Will Ferrell. Is that correct?
I guess maybe they're counting on video.
Yeah. All right.
Makes sense, though.
Checked out my gift bag. I saw that there was a new hat in there. There was a new Go Reds wristband, and I'm excited to see that they've improved the design of it. So it now has the letters pressed into the plastic. So when all the ink wears off, like it did off my last one, it will still have some indication of why I have this white band around my wrist. Then there was, a couple tickets to the Reds Hall of Fame and Museum, the nasty point that I mentioned before, a lollipop. You know, that's a you'd expect that from something with a bank. There was a luggage tag. Really, all in all, I would say that it's surprising how much stuff that they squeezed into this gift bag, considering the fairly low amount of the ticket price. So I'll give them full props for that. And of course, the piece of grass that I got to bring back from the outfield, you know, that's going to be the highlight of any collection. So, there you have it. I hope that you enjoyed this peek into the Luncheon for the Ladies, and next year when it rolls around, maybe we can all get together and go out there together and hit on Marty. Go Reds!